When my life on earth is finished, and I cross the rolling tide, and the beauty of the glory land I see. Many sainted friends and loved ones will be waiting there, I know. But I long to see the one who died for me. Oh, just think about the glory in that home beyond the sky. Oh, just think about the beauty we shall see by and by. Many things on earth of value will be common over there, but I long to see the one who died for me. Gold and silver, precious jewels in abundance will be there, and the grandeur of the mansions we shall see. But the center of attraction will be the Son of God, for he bought us by his death on Calvary. Though perhaps we may have suffered many things on earth below, if we kept the faith and lived in victory, our reward will there be waiting when we enter heaven's gate, and the smiling face of Jesus we shall see. Oh, just think about the glory in that home beyond the sky. Oh, just think about the beauty we shall see by and by. Many things on earth of value will be common over there, but I long to see the one who died for me. Yes, I long to see the one who died for me.
Well, amen. Thank you, Mrs. Garner. You know, for a believer, you can relate to that song, because there's a longing in your soul to see the one who died for you, who purchased your sin debt and loved you, and that's exciting to know that it could be today. You say, did you wake up thinking it could be today? Sure did. Sure did. And you know what I'm going to do? If it's not today, I'm going to wake up tomorrow thinking it could be tomorrow. Actually, it'd be today, right? Take your Bible, if you would, with me. Two passages of Scripture. I want you to turn to Matthew 8 and Luke 8, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 8 and Luke chapter 8. Matthew 8 and Luke chapter number 8. Doesn't the turning of Bible pages sound nice? Let's stand together in Matthew chapter 8 and Luke chapter number 8. We're just going to read 3 verses out of Matthew 8, and we're going to read about 5 verses out of Luke chapter number 8. Matthew chapter 8, the Bible says, "When he was come," speaking of Jesus, "come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Now I want you to look at that for just a moment, because I want you to think about what's happening here. And now I'm going to come back to this later in the message, but may I say to you some folks, we don't touch lepers. Right? They were unclean. That matter of fact, that's what they were supposed to be saying, unclean. But Jesus touched this leprous man. And we're going to come back to that in a minute, so keep that in the back of your head, all right? Luke chapter number 8. But the point I want to make here is Jesus touched him. Luke chapter number 8, if you would please, and verse number 43. "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon a physician," she's broke, folks, didn't have any insurance, you know, the probably socialistic medicine, things like, she's broke, okay? "Neither could be healed of any. Now she came behind him," speaking of Jesus, "and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? Then all denied Peter, and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Now I want you to notice in verse number 46, because get the scene here, Jesus is walking here. There are crowds gathering to him. There is a throng there. People are reaching. People are yelling. People are shouting. People are worshiping. And right in the middle of this, he said, who touched me? And did you notice the Bible says, and when all denied, wasn't me. Wasn't me that touched you, Lord. You know what? Because they thought, well, he's going to be angry. He's going to be mad at us because we touched him. He just simply said, who touched me? They said, Lord, we're right in the middle of this big crowd of people, and you're asking who touched me? And he looked at him again and said, somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. And I want to take that, the words of Jesus this morning, and I want to talk to you about somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. Now, Father, I want to ask you to bless our time this morning, stir our heart, open our spirit, Holy Ghost of God, that we might receive what you have for us this morning. I do pray that you'd show yourself mighty, move in the hearts of the people of God that came to this service this morning. They came because they want to hear something from heaven. They want to hear something from the Word of God that would encourage them and uplift them for the things and the cause of Christ. Have thine own way, we pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to read you one other verse before I get going this morning. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 35, actually 2 verses. The Bible says, "And when the men of that place," speaking of Gennesaret, "of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole." And I want to talk to you this morning on that subject. Jesus said, somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. Now, God gave us 5 senses. Now, if you are a student of the Bible, and when you read the Scriptures, you'll find out that He makes reference to all 5 of your senses. And by the way, they come in quite handy in serving God. Now, what I'm saying to you is God gave us those senses. He gave us a sense of sight. He tells us that we're to walk as children of light, and we're to walk as knowing who we are and what we are. He gave us the sense of speech so that we could witness and tell people about Christ. He gave us the sense of hearing so we could hear the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's the reason we need to be under the sound of preaching and teaching more. He gave us the sense of taste. Say, oh, what are we going to taste? Let me tell you something. If you ever had a taste of the world, you don't want to go back. You say, he may not have given you that sense in your spiritual life, something you can taste on your tongue. But let me tell you something, friend. He gave you a taste of that in your spirit, though. You won't ever want to go back. But I don't want to focus on the first four senses. I want to focus on the last one, the sense of touch. You see, each one of these senses are directly connected to our brain. And signals are sent to our brain through these senses, and it determines certain things. Now, as I mentioned, the Lord in Scripture addresses each one of these senses and how each relate to our Christian walk, and they come in quite handy, as I mentioned, in our service for God, in our service for Christ. I want to look at the sense of touch this morning, and in our reading, we find that in some cases, Jesus did the touching. In other cases, people touched Him. And I want to look at both cases this morning, but may I say to you, regardless of who touched who, Jesus was always aware there was a touch that took place. Always aware that a touch took place. That's the reason He said in this crowd of people, "Who touched me?" He was aware that someone in need had touched Him. You see, there's never been a time that He's not aware of a touch. There's never been a time that He's never touched someone or been touched that He was not aware of it. You see, touch is a very sensitive part of our makeup. By our touch, we know the difference between hot and cold. We know the difference between something that's hard and something that's soft. We know the difference between a solid or a liquid, or we can even use touch and determine objects without even seeing them. You see, touch can determine what something is without actually seeing it. It's a very powerful part of our makeup. Let me prove my point this morning. Brother Combs, where are you? Come here just a moment. Sorry, you snuck out from behind me. I was going to use Brother Combs because he was right here. Brother Combs, in this bag right here, I've got three objects. All right, I don't want you to look at the object. I just want you to reach inside the bag. Don't pull it out. Touch it and tell me what you have in your hand. Just grab the first object. Tell me what you got. Okay? But he says he's got a golf ball. What is it? Never saw it. Reached in, touched it. You know what his sense said? Golf ball. You're one for one. Don't mess my illustration up. Okay? Now, I tried to make these easy because I figured anybody can do this, right? All right. Here we go. Item number two. What do you got? Okay, pull it out. He said, it's a pencil. It's a pencil. Man, he's two for two. And he's doing great today. But you know something? Never saw them. By the way, did we practice this? He just got back from North Dakota. I'm not going to practice with him that quick. Right? Now, I got one other item in here. Just reach down. Don't look. Don't look. Reach down there and tell me what's in it. What do you got? It's a key. It's exactly right. Good job. Thank you, Brother Combs. You say, what's the purpose of that? Didn't have to see it. Didn't have to determine. Listen. All he had to do was what? Touch it. And his touch identified to his brain what it was. May I say to you this morning that you and I, there's a common denominator here in our Christian life, and that common denominator here is regardless of who touched who, there was always a need involved. You see, the thing about it is when he reached his hand in there to touch those items, he immediately identified them. You know why? Because he had seen them before. He had touched them before. And I'm here to tell you this morning that, dear folks, sometimes Jesus initiates the touch and sometimes we must initiate the touch. You see, the point being that contact was made, thus results came from it. You see, what we want to do is we don't want to make any contact, but we want results. That's the reason we want to sit at home waiting for somebody to call us for a job instead of going and making contact, right? It doesn't work that way, folks. We have to make contact, then we get results. You see, if you want results in your life like these folks experienced that we looked at in Scripture, there must be contact. There must be contact. And may I say to you this morning that there are a great number of people that experienced the touch of God. The first thing I want to bring to your attention this morning is when Jesus touched somebody, when he touched somebody, he was willing to touch anybody. He was willing to touch anybody. You see, in my reading just a moment ago in Matthew chapter 8, in verse number 3, we find that he touched a man that had leprosy. Folks, we don't touch leprous people. Why? Because it's a disease that can be contracted. We don't touch them. But here's a leprous man that came to Jesus knowing, what are my chances that I'm going to be touched by the Son of God? Probably a bunch of people told him, said, you ain't got no chance to be touched by the Son of God. You don't have any chance to be touched by the hand of God. But you know what? He made up his mind, what do I have to lose? I don't have anything to lose. So he goes to the Son of God and he says, if thou wilt, I can be made whole. And Jesus said, I will. And you know what he did? He reached out and touched him. Why? Because when Jesus touches somebody, he's willing to touch anybody. Matthew chapter 8, you read on a little bit further, we find that Peter's mother-in-law was very ill. And he was willing to touch Peter's mother-in-law. Now that's a real touch. His mother-in-law was sick, the Bible says, of a fever. And Jesus touched her and she was healed. She was healed. Why? Because he's willing to touch anybody. A leprous man. A mother-in-law. Matthew chapter 9. Two blind beggars, remember, saying, Jesus, thou son of David. You know what everybody else will say? Shh, don't bother the master. Let me tell you something, folks. There's always going to be people that are going to try to stop a touch from God in your life. Always! And it may be people that you call friends that are trying to step between you and a touch from God. And they, listen, when they told them to be quiet, you know what they'd say? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I offend somebody? You know what? They scream louder. You know why? They wanted a touch. Jesus went over and touched these blind beggars and they received their sight. Mark chapter 10 tells us that they brought little children to Jesus. And you know who tried to stand between Jesus and the little children? His disciples. Don't bother the master. He's really busy. May I say to you, he's not too busy to touch somebody's life. They brought these little children to him and his disciples said, hey, don't bother the master. But he brought the little children, they brought the little children unto him and he touched them. Can I say something to you, young people? You're not beyond the touch of God. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care what. Listen, it doesn't matter whether you're 90 or 9 this morning. He's still willing to touch you. He's willing to touch the young, the teen, and the old this morning. Luke chapter 22. Remember the scene in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter takes a sword and cuts one of the Roman soldiers by the name of Malchus, cuts his ear off. You know what Jesus does? Reaches down, takes his ear, and puts it back on. You see, he's willing to touch anybody. Touched a leper. Touched a man by the name of Malchus. Touched Peter's mother-in-law, and beggars, and little children. Hey, this tells me that regardless of who you are, it tells me regardless of what you've done in your life, he's still willing to extend a divine touch from heaven to your life. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what your need is today. And there's something else I noticed. Not only is he willing to touch anybody, but his touch had a purpose. His touch had a purpose. Some cases it was a healing purpose. He touched people and they were healed. Sometimes it was a comforting purpose. Let me show you from the Bible here quickly here. Remember in Matthew chapter 17, remember he takes Peter, James, and John up on a high mountain and is transfigured in their sight? When they saw it, you remember what they did? They fell down on their face in fear, the Bible says. And the next thing they know, while they're on their face, guess who touches them? Jesus touched them. You know why? They were afraid. Some of you here this morning, you know what? You're afraid. Maybe you're afraid of some situations and circumstances on your job. Maybe you're afraid of losing your job. Maybe you've got some family issues that have brought fear to your life. May I say to you this morning, he's willing to have a comforting touch this morning. He's willing to touch you not with just a healing purpose, but with a comforting purpose. Let me tell you something. You can go to a family member, you can give them a big old hug, and let me tell you something, there's nothing like a touch from God. There's nothing like a touch from God. You see, sometimes it's a healing purpose. Sometimes it's a comforting purpose. May I say to you, sometimes it's a teaching purpose. Sometimes He touches our lives to teach us. John chapter 13, remember there in that Last Supper? You remember the disciples are sitting there and they're chit-chatting like some of us today. You know, we're just chit-chatting while the preaching's going on, you know. It's, you know, yeah. Hey, what'd you do last night? You know. They're just chit-chatting, minding their own business. They're not noticing over here, Jesus is going over and He gets a bowl of water. Girds Himself about with a towel. And one by one, He begins to go. And would someone try to help me out? What is He doing? He starts washing their dirty, filthy, nasty feet. If you don't think feet are dirty and filthy and nasty, they are. And He kneels down and begins to touch their feet. We find out, what was He doing, folks? He was teaching them. What was He teaching them about? He was teaching them how to serve. He was teaching them to serve one another. He was teaching them, listen, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've been through in life, we're to serve each other for the cause of Christ. The Lord said, if you've done it unto one of these, to these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Sometimes it's a teaching purpose. But you know, there are a couple of times in the Bible that He touched people, and it was for a living purpose. Luke chapter 8, where we just read just a moment ago, just prior to Luke chapter 8 there, a man by the name of Jairus comes to Jesus. Oh, his daughter was very ill. Well, come to find out, make a long story short, and Jesus is on His way to His house. They came to Him and said, listen, don't bother the Master anymore. She passed away. And Jesus said, oh, don't be concerned about anything. She's not dead. She just sleeps. You know what they did? The Bible says they laughed Him to scorn. They laughed in the face of God. I like what He did. You know what He said? All right, everybody out. Out. Everybody, listen, he ran every one of them laughers out of there except mama and daddy. The kids, let me just stop here for a commercial and say something just a moment. You know why He left mom and daddy in there? Because He knew mom and daddy loved that kid. You see, just about the time you don't think that mom and daddy loves you, you need to look a little closer. Because I promise you, most of you kids in this room today, you have the fortunes of being raised in a good home. Mom and daddy that loves you, and He cleared everybody out and brought mom and daddy in there, and the Bible just simply says He reached down and took her by the hand. You know what came back into her? Her soul. Life came back to her. He says, now give her something to eat. Now, I'm just saying to you, sometimes it's a living purpose. Luke chapter 7. Jesus is approaching the town of Nain, and He sees a funeral procession going by. He sees a little woman weeping, and He walks over there and knows He knows what's going on. The Bible says He reaches out and touches the bear, touches the side of the casket. And you know what happened? No more funeral. Life came back. But you know what it took? It took a touch. He's going to touch anybody. And His touch always has a purpose. Always. You see, the touch of Jesus is not the touch of an ordinary man. You see, for in His touch was all the power of the Godhead incarnate in human flesh. When He touched people, it was a touch of God on their life. They were being touched by God, the one who created them. Nothing could escape His purpose. But I noticed when Jesus touched somebody, He touched anybody. He's willing to touch anybody. His touch had a purpose. But may I say to you also, He didn't touch anybody that didn't want to be touched. He didn't touch anybody that didn't want to be touched. Let me give you a perfect illustration. Now, He couldn't reach out and touch them. Perfect illustration, Jesus is on a cross. Okay? Both of them Both thieves on the cross railed on him at the beginning. But then one of them came to his senses and said, you know what? I don't have anything to lose. I believe I'll take a touch from Jesus. So the other one said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, I believe I'll touch him. You know why? Because he wanted to be touched. And he touched him and saved him. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Say, what happened to the other one? He didn't want to be touched. So you know what? Because he didn't want to be touched, he had to go to hell. Because he didn't want to touch from God. You see, he didn't touch anybody that didn't want to be touched. You see, there were others that didn't want to be touched in the Bible. The Pharisees didn't want to be touched. Rich young ruler, you know what? He didn't want to be touched. Agrippa, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He didn't want to be touched either. But you know, a man like Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee and came to Jesus by night, you know what he came to him for? He came to him to inquire about salvation. He came to him to inquire, and he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know why Nicodemus came to Jesus? Because he wanted to be touched. He wanted to be touched. The woman at the well wanted to be touched. The thief on the cross wanted to be touched. My question to you this morning, you want to touch? Touch anybody? But let me tell you something, his touch has got a purpose. And he's not going to touch, he didn't touch anybody that didn't want to be touched. Do you want a touch from Almighty God today? Do you want a touch that has purpose behind it? Now let me finish up and say this. When Jesus touched somebody, he touched anybody. Didn't matter who they were, didn't matter what walk of life they were from, he was willing to touch anybody. His touch had a purpose. He didn't touch anybody that didn't want to be touched, but may I say to you that in some cases, like we have in Luke chapter 8, somebody touched him. Somebody touched him. Would you take your Bible for just a moment this morning, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Let me show you a verse for just a second. Hebrews chapter number 4, if you would please. Hebrews 4 and verse number 15. Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we, believers, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. You see, the thing about it is in Luke chapter 8, here's a woman that had a need. Her need was healing. And by the way, that's one of the purposes that Jesus touches. And so she had a healing need, so she went to Christ and she just simply touched his garment, and you know what? Healed. Now, the thing about it is Jesus then turned and said, all right, somebody touched me. Who was it? Now, the real spiritual ones like Peter and the other disciples, not us. Hey, they didn't know how he was going to respond. They didn't know, wasn't us, Lord. He said, no, I know somebody touched me because virtue went out of me. Why? Because there was a need. And that need was a healing need. But may I say to you, I notice when somebody touches Jesus, particularly in this particular case, they experienced immediate results. This woman was healed immediately. We read in Matthew chapter 14 that when they got the word that Jesus was coming, they began to bring all their sick, all their diseased out there, that they could just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as were touched were made whole perfectly. Immediate results. Can I say something to you this morning? You want heaven as your home? You want some immediate, I'm talking about immediate results? You come this morning, put your faith, trust in Christ, you get immediate results. Immediate! Hey, salvation doesn't take place when we see Jesus and we hear the trumpet sound. It takes place immediately. Immediately. This woman had immediate healing. Now, the scripture is very plain. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the reason he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You see, when somebody touched Jesus, they experienced immediate results. You just have to come this morning. You want heaven as your home? Hey, you know what? He's willing. He's willing. All you got to do is just come. Reach out for that touch. And it's immediate results. He'll give you exactly what you come for this morning. May I say to you, there were some in the Bible that touched Jesus for not spiritual reasons, but for selfish reasons. Can I take you now back to the Garden of Gethsemane once again? And as Jesus is waiting there, and the disciples now have all fell asleep, and he's waiting there for what he knows to be the betrayal and the arrest. In the forefront of leading those men, there was one man that began to come clear in sight from the dark and from the light of the men holding the torches as they came to arrest Jesus. And as the light shined on his face, it was Judas. As Judas faced and began to approach the Son of God, he had already betrayed him for selfish gain. Now let me stop and say this to you this morning. He placed a kiss on Jesus' cheek. Instead of Jesus getting angry, you know what Jesus said? Friend. Friend. You see, there's a lot of people, folks, and I'm not going to go this direction. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of people out there using Jesus. There's a lot of them that are kissing him on the cheek for selfish gain and for selfish purpose, so that they can begin to climb the religious ladder. Hey, folks, listen, ministry, religion, this is not about church, it's not about us. It's about Christ. You see, some touch him for selfish reasons. But let me finish up and say this. When somebody touched Jesus, not only did they experience immediate results, they experienced fulfillment. They experienced fulfillment. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Mary, moments after she just gave birth to the Son of God? Can you imagine as they laid that small body of that little baby in her hand, she literally held the Son of God in her hands? You see, this had already been announced to her. She already knew this day was coming. But the fulfillment of it, when she touched the skin of the Son of God. Can you imagine how she felt? Yes, this is the fulfillment of everything, Lord God, that you told me. And she began to cuddle that baby and hold that baby. You see, when somebody touches Jesus, they experience fulfillment. Fulfillment. Remember, as Jesus got a little bit older, his mom and dad took him to the temple in Luke chapter number 2, and there was a man by the name of Simeon that God had promised that he'd not meet death until his eyes had beheld the Savior. Can you imagine when they brought him to the temple that day? He'd been waiting on, listen, this guy wasn't no spring chicken. This guy was an older man. He'd been waiting a long time. They come to the temple and his eyes beheld Jesus. But wait a minute, he didn't just say, boy, that's a good-looking boy. He went over there and touched him. I want to touch him. I want to feel him. This is the promise. This is what I've been waiting for all my life. He grabbed the body of that little boy and embraced it. You can imagine the excitement and the tears in his eyes. Let me take you one step further here, to that Last Supper again. And if you'll remember, the apostle whom Jesus loved was the apostle John. And in John chapter 13, verse 25, we find that he had laid his head on Jesus' chest. Remember, Jesus said, one of you at this table will betray me. As he laid his head on Jesus' chest, he said, Lord, remember, every one of them said, Lord, is it I? Is it I? But that's what I want to focus on for just a second. Can you imagine as you lay your head on someone's chest, and I have done this many times with my kids and just laid my head on their chest and prayed for them. You know, when I laid my head on their chest, you know what I begin to hear? I can hear their heart beating. You see, John, as he laid his head on Jesus' chest, heard the heartbeat of the Son of God. And you know what the heartbeat of the Son of God is this morning? His desire before you leave this morning is to touch your life. That's what His desire is. He don't want you to come to church this morning for no reason. He don't want you to come and leave as you came. I'm assuming the reason you're here, you want a touch from God. I'm assuming the reason that you're here is maybe you're going through difficulties. Maybe you've got issues in your life or whatever it may be. I'm here to tell you, He's willing to touch your life. Maybe you've got a great loss. Maybe you've got a heavy burden this morning. I'm here to tell you, He's willing to touch anybody. Anybody! There's a purpose behind that touch. But can I say one last thing to you? That when Jesus decides to touch somebody today, He may use you to touch somebody. Because, by the way, your hands are His hands. Remember, I told you, if you've done it unto one of the least of these, He said, my brethren, you have done it unto me. You see, the thing about it is we're waiting. Okay, Lord, touch them. Touch them. The whole time He's telling you, no, you touch them. No, I want to use you. You go to them. You go find out what their need is. You go find out what the situation is. And you touch their life. You see, our hands are His hands. See, He wants to touch somebody today. He wants to touch your life divinely. But you know what? There may be somebody here. He wants to use you to touch someone's life. I'm just here to tell you that Jesus, in that throng, turned around to His disciples and said, guys, somebody touched me. Oh, Lord, how can you expect us to know who touched you? He knew who touched Him. And may I say to you this morning, if you'll come, He can pick you out of this crowd this morning. He knows your need. Whether this morning it could be the need just to come to Jesus Christ by faith and trust Him as your Savior. Maybe you've got a family issue. Maybe there's a marriage issue. Maybe there's kid issues. Whatever they are, this morning, come. Hey, listen, He'll touch anybody. And He's got a purpose behind that touch. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many this morning in this auditorium can say,